Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, last week I spent a little bit of time talking about social ministry, and today I just wanted to kind of continue that discussion. I feel like it's just so relevant today, and just not a lot of people are talking about it. And there's some people that do, and there's some people that are doing it very well. You know, I talked last week about how Long Hollow Baptist does it. You know, Saddleback has a great online ministry, and they're doing some great things. But I feel like it's something that we're not really spending enough time. And I'm a very data driven person. And so what I did this last week is I did a bunch more research, right? I just wanted to understand what the data is telling us. And, you know, like I've said before, as an IT guy, it's either a one or a zero. So I want to understand it. But so I wanted to give some real numbers based on some recent studies. And, you know, because the numbers are real, right? It's real people, real questions, and real problems. And in the 21st century, fewer and fewer people are going to church. So we really have to ask why. And we have to ask, can the internet help with that, right? I think that far too many people have walk away from the church, and that's been going on long before COVID. And so we just really have to start trying to figure out what's going on. And so there was a study done. The article was published April 22nd, and it had tons of data in it. And the one thing in this data that was very clear is that the virtual church or an online church is very popular right now. And honestly, I don't see it decreasing anytime soon. And I believe it's just going to keep growing. And I think the stats prove that. I think that during the pandemic, it was not only required to go to this digital online church, but it was really smart. It was smart for the churches that did it and for the churches that embraced it. And so what I'm going to talk about today, like I said, there was an article in April of 22 called 22 Online Church Statistics for 2022. And in this, all of this data comes from several places. So if you want to go and research them, you can. And so they come from Lifeway Research, Reach Right, Barna Group, OneStream, Vimeo Livestream, DAcast, and Vanco, right? And then clearly I'm going to have comments about it, but I just want you to know that this isn't my data. This isn't something that just came, you know, I was like, oh, that's a great number. But so what I want to do is I just want to jump right into it, right? So the first one is a stat from DAcast that says 47% of people never abandoned in-person service. So I think, you know, the one thing that many churches or pastors, for that matter, one thing that they're concerned about, that if they focus too much on online church service, that they're going to lose the congregation. They're going to lose the people that they have, and that maybe people simply just won't come to the building anymore. But at the end of the day, the data doesn't support that, right? It says 47% of people never abandoned the practice of in-person services. They still went, even through the pandemic. They weren't, you know, so that's a huge number. What I want to know, though, is what about the other 53%? Are we just ignoring them because we don't want to do something? That's a question I think anybody who's a church leader or a pastor has to think about and answer, right? The next one, which this one is, I didn't understand it at first, but as I started to think about it, I was like, wow, that's real. But 44% of people prefer to engage in prayer from home. That's from the same DAcast as the previous one. But think about that, right? 44% of people prefer to engage in prayer from home. That's a huge number. I've always known that people are afraid to pray, or, you know, even when I was new in my walk, I was afraid that I wasn't going to do it right. Right? You hear these people saying these prayers that are just so beautiful. I didn't want to do it wrong. So when you don't want to do it wrong, you tend to stay silent. But that doesn't help, right? You stay silent at church. That 44% preferring to pray at home shows how out of touch we are with people. I know for me, and this opened my eyes, because for me, I'll ask people to pray, and I can see the fear in their eyes, and I do try to move on to somebody else without putting them through any more pain. But maybe we need to consider that by asking someone to pray publicly when they're not ready, that could be the final straw that sends them away. Maybe their anxiety around that simple question, "Would you like to pray?" keeps them away, especially after they saw you ask a random person last week. I personally never thought of that. I never thought, holy crap, I may be causing so much anxiety for somebody, afraid that I'm going to ask them to pray, that they don't show up again. They decide to go somewhere else where they can kind of hide in the shadows. I think you should think about that. That 44% is a huge number. Next, 33% of church attendees first found their church online. And that's from a Vimeo survey. Think about that. You know, I've said to numerous people, numerous pastors, you know, I tell my wife and people that I do ministry with all the time, that a newcomer will never walk into a church building before watching it online. They won't walk into the church if your online service isn't as good or better than your in-person service. There's statistics that say today, you know, new members to your church, not only 33% found the church online, there's also statistics that say they'll watch church online three times before they actually come to your building. So look, you have to prioritize your online engagement, your online ability to make sure people feel engaged and that the experience, they experience this quality that is the same quality as they would inside the building. That's just, it's required. If you're not willing to do it, it's going to be a problem in the future. And these statistics are going to show that as I continue to go through this, right? Another one from Barna Group, 53% of practicing Christians have streamed their church services online. Now, when they say, in this statistic, when they say practicing Christians, they mean those that go to church at least once a month and generally claim that their faith is important to them. So Barna asked respondents if they streamed any church in the 4 weeks before the survey, and 53% answered that they streamed their church online. Now, that's 53% that said they streamed online. So of that 53%, 34% said they streamed somebody else's church service. So if your service isn't good, they're going to stream somebody else's. And then 32% they did neither, right? They didn't do any of it. They went to church. So if you're a pastor or a church leader and you look at your congregation, recognize that more than half of those people have streamed church online, and 34% stream somebody else's. Maybe it's because you don't have good quality or you're not online. But you're not serving your community if you're not, right? If 53% said they watched church service and 34% said they streamed somebody else's, you're not providing what they need. It's not relevant to them. You know, Lifeway Research did a study of adults that are 18 to 34, and they are some of the biggest supporters of virtual church, with 22% of the people in that age range that was surveyed, they prefer virtual church to attending church in person. That's a large number for that age group. 22% would rather be virtual. So we got to figure out how to get to those people, because that's the biggest unreached church demographic. Right, they're fresh from college, they've been in the secular world, and they've, you know, some of them have strayed. So we got to figure out how to pull them back in. You know, then you know, Reach Right is another survey group, and they said there are tons of reasons not related to faith that church attendance is down. Right, they say 9% of people that say they don't go to church is because of their health. Right, so they just physically can't. 18% said that the sermons weren't engaging enough. And the biggest, 23% said they couldn't find a church that was right for them. So if we just look, I mean, that 9% of people that couldn't do it because of their health, that's, you know, the perfect example of the demographic of people that we need to figure out. How do we engage them online? How do we allow them to get the discipleship that they so desperately need? But that 23% that can't find a church, why is that? Why would they say that they have looked and looked and looked, but they can't find one that's right for them? You know, in my opinion, I talked about it last week, there's far too much judgment from people in the church building. And when someone visits for the first time, they see the looks, they hear the comments, they see the little click groups that are formed. You know, one thing that I miss, right? I know that we stopped doing this because of COVID, but what happened to, you know, after worship or when you first get into the building or whatever it may be, you're all sitting in the sanctuary and they turn the lights on and they say, hey, why don't you say hello to your neighbor? Why don't you say hi to the people sitting next to you? Why don't you introduce yourself? I love to meet people that I've never met at our church. I love to meet people that are visiting for the first time. Now, we don't do that. And for me personally, I'm less likely to go up to someone after service and say hello. And I know that I need to be better at that. But just to walk over, it's generally not me. But sometimes, even when I decide that I'm going to go over to that visitor right after service, they've already left. Right, my chance to say hello and welcome to the church went away the minute we didn't have the opportunity to introduce ourselves right then. So if we're not going to say hi and meet people, why not just be online? Why not just stream the service and never have an in-person get-together? Never require somebody to get the building because you're not saying hi to them. And look, I know it sounds extreme, but it's a real question. It's a real question that we have to consider. You know, ReachRite also did a study about church attendance, and they said in 2050, the church attendance could be half of what it was in 1990. Half. That's terrible. That's not a pandemic problem, in my opinion. Right? The pre-pandemic statistics are proving that attendance was already decreasing over and over again, year over year. So if we don't figure out this online church, online ministry, and really embrace it, churches, they might be in a really bad state going forward. And we already know that Lifeway puts out statistics, and this SBC does, right? Southeastern Baptist Convention, about how many churches close every year. And it's a ridiculous number. No church should have to close, but it's happening. You know, during the pandemic, 96% of pastors live streamed their service, right? During the pandemic. That's from Barna Group. And I think before the pandemic, churches and technologies just always didn't go hand in hand, right? I mean, I heard pastors say, I'm not technical, or I don't know how that works. Now, there's numerous big churches, right, that they had embraced technology long before, right? They had everything that was needed to stream. They had amazing experience, you know, that people, it wasn't any different than when they were sitting there versus if they were at home. And sometimes at home, it was even better. It was sometimes more intimate, right? I've seen some churches that do it so good. It's this intimate experience at home that you couldn't get at the building because there were so many people. I was watching it on a screen anyways. Why not watch it on a screen at home? But they did this because that was just part of their core. They had to, right? To reach more people. Like, you couldn't sit any more people in the sanctuary, so we better start streaming it. Or they did it because they knew they were going to post the sermons online later. So they were already recording it. They already were, you know, had all the technology, and they just wanted to make sure they were doing it right. Or maybe they were even doing live TV, right? Tons of churches do live. World Outreach is one of them here in Tennessee. And so maybe they were already doing live TV, so they had everything that they needed. So they had no problem because they already had the stuff. But I think the problem becomes the smaller church that doesn't embrace technology, that doesn't recognize technology, is a required part of ministry now. You know, in my professional life, that's what I do. I am in technology. And I have said for many, many, many years professionally that when every company recognizes that they're a technology company first and the service provider second, they're gonna prosper. That you have to figure out how your technology grows your business, right? Regardless of what it is. Because technology is so integral in our lives and in everything we do. I mean, if you just look today, you know, almost every 10-year-old in the country has a cell phone. So you better have some technology to help with that. All right, back to the stuff. ReachRight also did a study where they found that 17 million Americans regularly visit church websites. That's a pretty unanimous one. I've seen that number in several other studies. So it doesn't really matter whose data you use, but I'm using ReachRight. But it's clear that you have to have an online presence. If you don't have an online presence, you're not growing, you're not embracing, you're not meeting the needs of the community you serve, right? And ReachRight even says if you include YouTube church services in that number, it's higher than 17 million. So think about that, right? At the end of the day, there's tons of other stats in this data. And I challenge you to go do your own digging, find some of the data, but it's clear that we need to figure it out. You know, it's clear because only 21% of church leaders agree that they have a well-defined digital ministry strategy, that they have a defined strategy to engage people who are not physically in the building. So another way to look at that is almost 80% of church leaders don't have a plan. I said this last week, and I probably said it a couple times today. Some of the things I say are going to sound harsh, right? But if you're part of that 80% that you don't have a plan, you need to figure it out. And I think church leaders are stuck. I think they're trying to figure out how to continue this in-person thing and build an online strategy, but they were never taught how to do it. They were never taught what to expect. When you go to seminary, maybe it's changing today, but it used to be when you go to seminary or ministry school or you get a degree in ministry, they don't tell you about online. You know, our churches today, they need people that are agents of change. They need people that can help direct the congregation through that change. We need to stop trying to fish in the same fishbowl that we have for generations. We need to start focusing on kingdom growth and not keeping the people in the building happy. I know that's hard, but if they're not happy, then who are we serving? Are we serving them or are we serving God? You know, have you heard, I know I have, but have you ever heard a pastor recently say, I can't wait till we get back to normal, right? Post-COVID, I can't wait. It's hard to get back to normal when you don't know what normal is. And frankly, normal is disappearing before our eyes. Change is now the standard. And because change is the standard, sometimes it takes a crisis to move the needle, and that's exactly what COVID has done, right? It has accelerated this change like gas to a flame. We've needed the normal to change for a long time. We've needed the church to change for a long time, but nobody's embraced it. We got to figure out how to embrace it. You know, Linda says that to me all the time. She'll say something like, you know, you cannot put Pandora back in the box. You know, and it's true, right? Once you open the box, Pandora's out. She ain't going back. So it's simple, right? The digital genie is out of the bottle. We need to embrace it. Not only do we need to embrace it, we need leaders of change. You know, today, 71% of boomers want their primary church service to be in person after COVID. But for Gen Z, only 41% prefer in person. That's a 30-point gap. That 30-point gap is drastically impacting the church. And here's one of the problems, right? And I'm going to say it, right? The average senior pastor today is a boomer, right? Most elders, deacons, church boards, senior advisors, leadership teams, they're also boomers. Most key donors of churches are boomers. So when you get them all together, you've got that normal groupthink process. And it's inevitable that online church or digital church is not going to get a priority because 71% want primary church service to be in person. They're not going to understand why the younger generation doesn't get it. They don't. You want to change the thought process? You want to change the groupthink? Get young leaders. Allow them to make decisions. And I actually mean make decisions, not just allow them to share their opinions. Get them making decisions. Next, you got to think about how you allocate your resources and volunteers. You have to change the allocation. You know, today, most churches spend less than 10% of their time and money on the one thing that can give the greatest potential for future growth and for kingdom growth. And that's online. Less than 10%. What are you getting out of that 90% that you don't spend on the thing that could be the greatest opportunity for kingdom growth? I think you got to justify that. If you're a church leader, you got to justify why the smallest amount of money that you spend is for the greatest potential growth. Like, why isn't it the opposite of that? Look, based on all this data, it should be very clear that church attendance has been dropping for decades, and the pandemic did nothing but accelerate that. In-person service is never going away. But it can't play the role that it has played for generations. We have to change. And so look, if your primary mission is to fill the building, then keep doing what you're doing and don't change. But if your mission is to grow the kingdom, if your mission is to reach people, maybe you should rethink what you prioritize. Hey, this is Rick. Thanks for listening. You know, it's the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Send me an email, hello@nomadpastor.org. You can subscribe at any podcast platform of your choice. I'd love some feedback. I'd love to talk about it. You know, last time I asked, you know, for you guys to pray for me daily about what's going to be next. And I continue to ask for those prayers because I think God is just opening doors left and right for us and looking at what this digital ministry is going to look like. I want you to have a blessed week. Thanks.